this to the tax returns late last month after the Supreme Court denied Donald Trump's request for a temporary order that would have blocked the committee from obtaining the tax returns from the Internal Revenue Service, the IRS. The court's order ended a years-long fight, but left the Democrats little time to act before they lose control of the House of Representatives majority and the committee on 3rd of January 2023.
Back to reality.
It's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a new episode of Back to Reality. Hope you're doing great and everything is just fine with you. Now that we have your precious attention, buckle up to fly beyond the surface of the most interesting topics. You are listening to us from IRIB English Radio. This is Asma at your service as the host, and here with me I have two very dear guests who are going to accompany us through the realm of reality. I hereby welcome you both to Back to Reality. Welcome, brothers. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you very much.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you for inviting me to your show.
And thank you for coming here. And you, brother?
Assalamu alaikum rahmatullah. I hope we have a good discussion.
Inshallah. Well, as the ritual of this program goes, I would love you both to introduce yourself and give us a very brief introduction about your field of study and the rest.
I'm Ali, and I've been studying philosophy, Islamic philosophy.
Yeah, that's very interesting. And you?
I'm Muhammad Hussein Rajabian. I'm a PhD candidate for Islamic studies.
Great. Yeah,
and I'm doing my Kharij studies as well in Hauza Seminary School.
So I guess today we're going to set the table on fire. It has always been a long debate for all the people all around the world, and everybody talks about poverty and the causes and the effect of that. Now, I would love to start it with my own question. Is poverty a matter of questioning justice in this world?
From the maybe creation of Prophet Adam on the earth till today, and maybe in future we will deal with this important subject, the poverty, that it has been of such an importance that caused many changes in the world in different, you know, turning points during the history. So as well, it was a subject that has been used as a pretext for those who were, you know, looking for power to use it to mobilize people under this umbrella. And through that, they get to their own, you know, ambitions and purposes and goals. From another point of view, if you look at it, so this was kind of the social point of view. But from another point of view, I mean the religious point of view, in all the religions, almost we have it, as we have had it in Christianity, in Judaism, and in other religions, which this poverty was a subject matter in the great scriptures and the Bible. As well, we have it in Islam as a very important subject, that some of the main obligations of Islam, some of the obligatory things in Islam, are focused on this special point, as we have it about almsgiving, whether it is the wajib almsgiving, you know, obligatory almsgiving, or the recommended one. We know them as sadaqah and zakat.
So we know that it exists, but is it a matter of questioning justice?
Yeah, of course. So because the one of the main things that the religion is looking for that in our lives, I mean, human life, is justice.
Yeah.
So poverty, I mean, it means that there are different social classes. Mm-hmm. So people are not the same in their, you know, monetary ability, fiscal abilities. So because of that, to establish the justice in society, Islam has many rules in this regard. I mean, to somehow compensate this lowerness of this, for example, class, the poor people, the poor community, and brings them up to kind of levelize between different group of people.
Yeah.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Back to Reality.
Okay, brother.
Yeah.
I love you.
Social justice and justice was among the main goals and objectives of the prophets of God and messengers of God
yeah.
in the course of history. So in case they started to establish a government, they were often actually bringing justice to the people. So what contradicts this justice? One of these elements can be poverty. So all the divine and Abrahamic, let's say, messengers were fighting against this unpleasant phenomenon in the communities and societies that they have been living in. Poverty might have many reasons, and sometimes lack of, let's say, efforts and perseverance of people
yeah.
could be the cause of poverty. So
they sit idle and they expect everything to
yeah,
happen by time.
And we have it even in hadith and narrations, you know, from Imam Ali alayhi salam, that says that when people start to work and actually get distant from laziness, the poverty will be removed from
yeah.
the scene of the earth. It can be one of the reasons, but there are many different reasons, or let's say forms of poverty as well. We not want to actually say that all of these different forms of poverty are due to laziness or lack of perseverance.
Exactly.
What some of the forms of poverty are due to the, let's say, circumstances that are available in society, sometimes like the imposed economic pressures that are in some societies, or some say, as we have again in a hadith, that when the committing of the sins actually increases, the poverty actually also increases with that.
Mm-hmm.
So there might be a sort of a relation between the amount of the sins that people commit with
exactly.
the poverty. So all in all, this is something actually against justice. And
but nobody chooses poverty for himself or herself.
Definitely. No one chooses this poverty for himself. As I said, it might have many different reasons, extravagance in our daily activities, in israf, what we have in as a, let's say, catastrophe in our lives, could be, again, one of the reasons of poverty. Poverty actually targets justice, and the duty of the people themselves, the leaders, and also whether, I mean, religious or, let's say, governing leaders
to stand in front of that. Just to make it very much clear about israf, what do you mean by that?
Actually, israf is just lacking a program in using something in our daily lives. I mean, when we are actually trying to misuse whatever
extravagance.
Is at our extravagance.
Yeah.
Whatever is at our hand, but we do not actually see the value of it, and we sometimes actually use it more than it is needed, and sometimes it is due to the lack of, as I said, program and planning. We actually try to misuse some of
exactly.
the blessings of God.
Yeah. So just to wrap this part up, I would say that, sometimes poverty is not the thing that I have chosen for my life. It has happened as a test in my life. And we all know that all societies need balance, and we have it in our religion that if people help each other, if the rich people, if those who have enough of affluence help those who are in need, help the poor people, the needy people, then there would be a balance in society. And as you just talked about extravagance, if we just stop that, if we think properly, if we have a program for our life and for the money God has blessed us with, then there would be no poor in this world. Now, before we get into the effects of poverty, let's go for a short break and we'll be back. Thank you, dear listeners. Well, Welcome back. You're listening to Back to Reality. Well, in here with Brother Alavi and Brother Rajavian, we're having a quite perfect discussion on poverty. Well, we talked about the reasons and how it happens, and actually there are different sorts of poverty, and of course, just for the record, the most horrible poverty is the poverty of the soul. But aside from that, the physical poverty is going to lead to very horrible effects that might happen to everyone. And many people say that corruption has a major root in poverty. We see in many societies that the people who are poor, after some years and after decades of their life, they start to be the most important people of their society, and they start to flourish and accomplish different things and great things, let's say, in their societies. So what happens that a group of people turn to be sinners or wrongdoers coming out of poverty, and some others are just the other way?
We cannot say that the poverty is the full reason or a complete reason for the things, I mean, the outcomes that you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
That we
but
say
it could be one of the main reasons.
It could be one of the reasons. But we cannot say that because that person was, a poor person. So because of that, he has become a wrongdoer or a sinner.
No, because we have it even in our narrations.
So
that when poverty comes, many things leave the house.
Yeah, of course. I said I'm talking about, a full reason. Yeah, it could be a part of reason. So you can see that many of the great people, maybe even in our Islamic societies, when you look from the early Islam till now, some of the greatest figures that we have had in Islam, they came out of a very, very poor, family.
Yeah.
We cannot say that when the poverty enters a house, then everything will leave that house. So we say that when this family is poor, then the results 100% will be that the person, a child that comes out of this house, he will be a wrongdoer, a sinner,
mm-hmm.
or a sinner. As I told you, well, from the beginning, early Islam, the greatest companions of the Holy Prophet and Imam alayhi wasalam, when you look at them, you see that they were from the poorest, classes of society.
Yeah.
May I correct something here? Because I think there was a sort of misunderstanding from what I explained earlier. Look, as I said, poverty might have many different reasons. So one of those reasons might be, committing sins or, acting wrongly or being lazy in the work, in our daily activities. So as I said, the collection of reasons might lead to poverty. So it's not the only, and as the brother even pinpointed, it's not the only reason for
that. Yeah, but it is one of the major ones.
Definitely. It can be one of the reasons, yeah.
Just as you both said, poverty, we cannot consider it as the total reason for all the wrong things that happen in the world.
Yeah.
But it is one of the major ones. And there are some who believe that necessity is the mother of inventions. Mm-hmm. So could we just say that poverty is going to lead into goodness? I mean, is there any way to say that poverty is a blessing in disguise? So from all that's been said in this discussion, as in today, well, I could get that. Poverty could be considered as one of the main reasons for many wrong things that happen in the world. But still, we cannot say that all those people who are in poverty are going to be wrongdoers, sinners, or whatever, because we see it in history and we see it in different societies, in different nations, with different cultures and background, that many people coming out of poverty and then they turn to be great figures of their societies. So there's no way to put it this way, that poverty equals sinners, equals all the wrong things that happens in different cultures and societies. And after all, it's a test, and people can make the best out of everything because we have a brain, we have logic, and God would help those who would ask help from himself. So that's it. Thank you. This is all the time that we have for today's episode. Until next episode, I will bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaykum as-salam.
يا الله يا رب العالمين يا رحمن يا رحيم يا ربي لدي أمار عزك
يا الله
يا رب العالمين يا رحمن يا رحيم يا ربي لدي أمار عزك لتصي دليلتك once again.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Eight-year defense of Iranian combatants.
A senior Iranian lawmaker has said,
contrary to Washington's claims, America's
President Raisi has emphasized that
U.S. sanctions have failed to extract concessions from Tehran.
Iran Today.
The civil unrest in Iran triggered in response to the death of a 22-year-old woman while she was waiting at a Tehran police station bears the hallmark of a Western-sponsored covert war covering multiple fronts, according to a Western investigative journalist. The commotion that followed has claimed the lives of many ordinary citizens and security forces, while also allowing acts of terror and sabotage across the country. International security experts have confirmed that Iran's adversaries waged a hybrid war against the country to weaken national peace and solidarity, with a plan to hinder the country's production and progress. In the process, terrorists, freelance gunmen, separatists, and rioters rampaged the streets, burned the Quran, attacked mosques, set fire to cars and ambulances, and violently removed hijab from veiled women. Ironically enough, almost all these incidents pivoted on human rights issues and slogans. In line with human rights concerns, Britain, the U.S., France, Germany, Canada, and Saudi Arabia were all facing protests in their own territories in the past few weeks, using brutal methods to suppress the people. This is why they adamantly support those in Iran who run riots, looting, and vandalism. Furthermore, international human rights entities kept silent when it came to the crackdown in Western states, but spared no effort in showing solidarity with rioters in Iran. To take a closer look at this political warfare, please stay with us on this edition of Iran Today. A few days ago, local Iranian media reported that the 23-year-old Mohsen Shekari was hanged after being convicted of blocking the streets during the riots and assaulting a security force member with a machete in Tehran. 4 days later, another man of the same age, Majid Reza Rahnavard, was convicted of killing two security forces with machete and executed in public in the city of Mashhad. Both were found guilty by revolutionary courts of Moharebe. Under Iranian law, Moharebe is defined as creating public insecurity by threatening lives or property with a weapon, a charge that carries the death sentence in most cases, according to Islamic Republic Penal Code. Furthermore, at least 24 other prisoners are facing execution in connection with street rampage and assault during the recent commotions and lawlessness around the country.
These two theories that exist amongst jurists are known as the theory of Tazir and the theory of order. The theory of Tazir believes in the punishment for offenses at the discretion of the judge or ruler of the state. Most of the jurists, including Sheikh Mufid, Sheikh Saduq, Deylami, and the rest, and even Imam Khomeini, believe that the judge has the right to choose any punishment for the crimes that are considered Muharibah, no matter what crime has been committed under Muharibah law. There are four punishments, and the judge has the authority to choose amongst them. In contrast to this theory, there is a theory called order, which says that the judge is not allowed to choose the type of the punishment freely, and he must examine the type of the crime before anything.
As expected, the mainstream Western media and their Persian language affiliates, along with some human rights groups, have condemned these events and characterized it as gross miscarriages of justice. Some going as far as calling assault, vandalism, and murder of security forces as heroic acts, and the punishment inhumane. According to political experts, such statements may appear to fail reasoning, but in cognitive warfare, the most obvious facts get so twisted until they fit the intended political agenda for target audiences. In the meantime, Iranian officials dismissed the Western criticism as hypocrisy, double standards, and interference, and vowed to continue dealing with protesters as they have.
If the enemies of Iran and the West have criticisms about the type of judgments in jurisprudence and the decrees of qisas and execution, let them come and discuss to see if our claim is correct or theirs. First of all, each of the decrees and laws has its own requirements. And secondly, these kinds of dealings are solely political and the legal aspects have been ignored. My argument is also legal, but these double standard policies that we see amongst the anti-Iranian media are completely political. They see themselves in a political campaign and intend to break down and defeat their rival, which is the Iranian government and nation. Therefore, we see that every now and then appalling executions take place in Saudi Arabia, but the media and Western governments remain silent.
From a click of a button in the U.S. to the violence on the streets of Tehran, security experts are indicating that the recent riots in Iran are being engineered and provoked from outside. A few days after the protests erupted on September 16, the Washington Post revealed that a number of bot and trolls of Pentagon psychological operations accounts operated by Central Command, that is CENTCOM division, were exposed by some American research firms. As a result, it was indicated that a significant proportion of CENTCOM's online disinformation and psychological warfare efforts were directed towards Iran.
In fact, today in England, when trained police dogs attack protesters and injure them violently, the reality is quickly swept under the rug and the news about it is silenced entirely. That is, there is no news coverage about something that is true. But if the smallest incident happens in Iran, they falsely attribute it to the Iranian police forces. Like a few days ago when a woman was thrown off the elevator by her fiancé, the enemy media attributed to the recent riots and blamed the Iranian police. We see this double standard policy, but the reason is the same as I said. The West cannot tolerate independent and powerful states. If you are a friend of America, you can behead and execute more than 80 people in one day without a trial.
According to the mentioned investigative research, Pentagon bots and trolls use different narrative techniques and approaches in an attempt to influence perceptions and engender engagement. A key strategy was the creation of multiple sham media outlets publishing content in Farsi. Numerous online channels were maintained for these platforms, spanning Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and even Telegram. In some cases, fake journalists and pundits with numerous followers on those platforms emerged, along with profile photos created via artificial intelligence.
Unfortunately, in the past four decades, although according to the Constitution, one of the duties of the judiciary is to discuss the prosecution and punishment of criminals and the important issue of crime prevention, we have to admit that the judiciary has really failed in this field. Of course, the duty of crime prevention is not the responsibility of the judiciary alone, and the entire government and society must work hand in hand. But the judiciary must unite all forces to achieve this goal.
Some of the fake news organizations utilized in this campaign publish original material, but much of their output was recycled content from U.S. government-funded propaganda outfits such as Radio Farda and Voice of America Farsi. They also repurposed and shared articles from the British-based Iran International, which appears to receive funding from Saudi Arabia, as did several fake personas attached to these outlets. These personas frequently posted non-political content, including Iranian poetry and photos of Persian food, in order to increase their authenticity. They also engage with real Iranians on Twitter, often joking with them about internet memes. These clusters of social media posts may appear innocuous and authentic in an age of clickbait and viral fake news, yet when aggregated and analyzed, they form a potent and potentially dangerous weapon, which it turns out is one of many in the Pentagon's regime change arsenal.
This is Iran Today. Iran Today is broadcast every week on Fridays and Saturdays. The series analyzes major political, economic, cultural, and social events concerning Iran. So don't miss the opportunity to listen to Iran Today on IRIB English Radio.
There's plenty more right after a quick diversion into world media. Here's how it looks on the page. Xinhua Net reads, Iran slams U.S. claims of supporting Iranian women. The Iranian Foreign Ministry spokesman Nasser Kanani slammed the U.S. claims of supporting Iranian women, saying they have been equally impacted by Washington's long-term unilateral sanctions on Tehran. U.S. officials have repeatedly announced that the Iranian people are not the target of their sanctions, said Kanani, adding, how is it possible to impose over 1,700 or 1,800 sanctions against a country which is an unprecedented international record in relations among states and claim that women and children are not affected by them? Following its 2018 withdrawal from a 2015 nuclear deal, the United States imposed more than 800 unilateral sanctions against Iran. A move that is totally in contradiction with its fake slogans of defending women's rights, Kanani said. Tasnim says, war on Iran out of question, General. Iran's success in gaining full deterrent power has made military onslaught against the country a non-viable option for the enemies, the head of the Civil Defense Organization of Iran said. Brigadier General Ghulam Reza Jalali continued, the Islamic Republic has become so powerful that no enemy would dare to pose a threat to the country, considering the cost of a military strike. He also highlighted Iran's advances in the drone industry, saying the enemies cannot accept Iran as a regional power in this sector, which is why they seek to harm the country in other non-military fields. The commander said the U.S. has admitted that Iran's success in extending the range of its missiles and boosting the accuracy and power of its fire has increased the costs and risks of American forces staying in the region. Irna reads, human rights a tool in Europe's political toolbox, Iranian envoy. Iranian ambassador to Austria Abbas Bagherpour Ardakhani has criticized European countries for using human rights as a political tool against other nations. The ambassador made the criticism in a tweet. To the Europeans, have you ever summoned any Israeli regime's rep for their persistent brutal crimes against children and women? Or others whose government executed 81 people in a single day? Surely not, since human rights is just a tool in your political toolbox. The Iranian diplomat ended his tweet with hashtag double standards. Other reported CENTCOM psychological warfare narratives have direct relevance to the upheaval that has engulfed Iran in the last couple of months. For example, women's rights, corruption, and the cost of living narratives, which is directly the result of suffocating U.S. sanctions, are all key stated motivating factors for the protesters that were used by PSYOPs.
One of the most fundamental issues that merits a mention and the main reasons behind such biased policies of these media outlets is that their puppet masters cannot tolerate the Islamic Republic of Iran and the Iranian nation and the goals that this nation pursues. their efforts are based on their own standards, whether in the field of human rights or in the field of media or the type of government in Iran. They seek to create this feeling of disappointment among the Iranian people. They want to make them give up supporting their government. It seems to me that today, significant amount of money is spent on social media to engineer public opinion in Iran.
Additionally, despite the rioters' widespread acts of violence and vandalism targeted at civilians and authorities alike, they also claim to be motivated by human rights concerns. And in light of America's never-ending plots against Iranian nation, there is a new narrative put out in that regard. It is about the recent court rulings in the Islamic Republic. First, they start the warfare in which they encourage aggression, violence, and even murder, and then criticize the punishment as acts against humanity. In response, Sayyed Majid Mir Ahmadi, the Deputy Interior Minister for Security and Police Affairs, has reacted to criticism against Iran for executing Shekari and others, saying the enemy's propaganda in this regard aims to prolong the unrest. He said that the people have demanded that the judiciary put the rioters on speedy trials, and the judiciary has done so. According to local media, other security officials said the enemy's propaganda against the judiciary is natural because they want the rioters to act freely.
There's no doubt about a punishment when the crime is evident. A crime that is committed in public, everyone closes their shops out of fear, there's a stabbing in the street, there's no question about such a crime. Don't you believe that such crime poses threat and creates insecurity? Hasn't the security of the society been compromised? Well, in such a case, one of the principles of Muharebe has definitely been realized. The law that orders the execution of this person has gone through its stage. It has been approved by the Majlis or Parliament. It has been approved by the Garden Council. And there it has been approved by six jurists and six lawyers.
But what is Muharebe? According to some Islamic scholars, the root of Muharebe in the Islamic context literally means waging war against society. And in Islamic jurisprudence, traditionally it is referred to as acts such as killing non-combatants, assassinations, setting fires, or poisoning water reservoirs. Crimes so serious and repugnant that their perpetrators were not to be given sanctuary anywhere. Also, other Islamic scholars interpret it as acts that defy universal codes, such as intentionally killing civilians during warfare or causing random destruction.
In the area of Muharebe and corruption on earth, we have to make a distinction between protests and riots. Protests are carried out in a peaceful way when the protest is marred by insults, destruction, assaults using a machete. It is no more considered a protest, but riots. Peaceful protests are one of the progressive principles in the constitution of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Both protests and gatherings are legitimate and allowed as long as they do not contradict the Islamic principles. As a result, if this protest or gathering deviates and goes towards riots, it must be stopped. As we saw in the recent riots, for example, a young man appears from nowhere in the holy city of Mashhad and unfortunately martyred two Basiji members and injured four others. Well, this rioter was sentenced to death in public. Now, even if this sentence was not issued under the law of Muharebe, it would be issued under the law of Qisas.
The term Muharebe is widely used in Iran's Islamic judiciary and is often applied against those who take up arms against the state and usually carries the death penalty. Executions for Muharebe are rare, but in the past they were usually used against members of armed opposition, terrorist groups, and common criminals. In Iran, there are also Islamic and socio-political scholars who oppose the use of Muharebe charges and make arguments about its interpretation.
When faced with a difference of opinion between jurists, the legislator usually chooses the path based on a predetermined policy. In the Islamic Penal Code approved in 2013, our legislator voted for the type of tazir for the punishment of Muharebe crimes. That is, here, the judge should take into account what happened in the crimes and the effects of this crime in the society as well as other issues and choose one of these four punishments for the criminal and give a verdict. The judge can issue a death sentence and it's not necessary for a murder to happen in this case. For example, sometimes the criminal has not perpetrated a murder, but he or she has created an intimidation or a threat in the society and amongst people which is so intense. In this case, the judge issues a death sentence.
According to the Iran Penal Code, corruption on earth offenses are punishable by death penalty. Article 286 of the IPC defines corruption on earth as a person who commits a crime on an extensive level against the physical integrity of others, the domestic or external security, spreads lies, disrupts the national economic system, undertakes arson and destruction, disseminates poisonous, microbiological, and dangerous substances, establishes corruption and prostitution centers, or assists in establishing them.
Naturally, the respected judge usually issues a punishment that has an effect stronger than the threat or intimidation created by the crime itself, meaning that a punishment that has deterrent power and creates a situation that others do not dare to repeat that crime. We should not forget that this person drew a weapon, killed two officers in cold blood, and injured four others. This rioter in Mashhad actually killed two Basiji members who were present in the street to create security on that day, and these were the ones who used to go to deprived areas of Iran to perform public benefit activities or help the flood victims in different provinces of Iran. There is no question that Islamic mercy, forgiveness, or doubts cannot be considered for this person.
Among the charges punishable by death penalty, murder and rape charges are tried by the criminal courts, while all security-related charges, corruption and drug trafficking are processed by the revolutionary courts.
Maybe many people don't know that if someone takes a machete and enters a gathering in the society and creates fear and terror in the people, he or she has committed the crime of muharabeh and may be sentenced to death as punishment. When such an incident happened in the society and the perpetrator is arrested and the death sentence is issued and he or she is executed, naturally this will remain in people's minds and will prevent many people from committing such a crime. Therefore, it cannot be denied that it will have a deterrent effect in favor of the society.
Here, Islam says that it is expedient to punish this criminal without wasting time so that the society can be saved from the state of insecurity.
Based on some recent media reports, leaders of intelligence security community in the West are pretending that they are concerned about the recent executions in Iran. Perhaps the reason is that they are afraid of losing their mercenaries in the country who seek anarchy and separatism. In their assessment, the unrest of the past 3 months is not a fleeting phenomenon.
We do not know the details of the case. Most of us have heard a news story and seen only a few minutes of a short video, and we easily say that the judge should not have issued such a sentence. There is no doubt that we are not judges and we cannot judge like this. We also need to have access to all the details to make a true and rightful judgment. Our statement is not correct as we do not know the whole story. On the other hand, we may have access to all the details, but still have an opinion contrary to the judge's opinion. These are normal.
Meanwhile, a recent article published in a West Asian online media revealed that Israel's intelligence agencies have devoted most of their efforts, budgets, and energy for many decades to monitoring developments in Iran. The reports indicate that while much of the emphasis has been placed on Iran's nuclear ambitions, weekly discussions and assessments have also been devoted to the stability of the establishment and prospects of its survival. One of the assessments on this regard was voiced in 2002 by outgoing Mossad director Ephraim Halevi, who predicted that the government in Tehran was near collapse. In the ensuing 20 years, at least 5 Mossad directors and 5 prime ministers have come and gone in Israel, but Islamic Republic of Iran's leadership and government continue to sustain the reins of power.
One of the basic issues here is the issue of human rights. This concept plays like a tool at the hands of the Democrats in America and European countries. I mean, they have a tool called human rights, and they always use it against independence-seeking countries who oppose their policies. During the last four decades, the Islamic Republic has experienced this. Otherwise, what is the reason behind this deafening silence about the settlement on the houses and lands of Palestinians in the occupied areas, or the journalist who was killed by the direct fire of the Zionist regime police, or the massacre of Yemeni children by Saudi Arabia? Do you think these issues are not worth a mention in their media?
So even Israeli optimists are unwilling to place bets on a regime change in Tehran at this point. The changes Iran is experiencing at the moment will not necessarily result in a revolution or a change of government. Right now, we do not see this happening in the foreseeable future, said a senior Israeli security source. The country still has many tools with which to defend itself, and it has not exhausted any of them. According to the interview in the mentioned article, three elements are still lacking for the unrest to overturn the establishment. The first is prominent charismatic leadership, as was the case with the founder of the 1979 Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Ruhollah Khomeini. Right now, the unrest lacks a prominent leader, and that is a distinct disadvantage.
Many times I have passed across the parliament building in Tehran and saw with my own eyes that the teachers have gathered and are protesting, or the workers and retirees. The police are also there to maintain security, and they never attack the protesters. At some point, some vandals may want to seize the opportunity to cause damage, conflict, or assault. The presence of the police prevents such incidents.
An additional element missing from the protest wave is organized funding of clear provenance.
The judge is an independent person. The judge should never be influenced by the anti-Iranian media and their propaganda. The judge should never be influenced by the government and should not be influenced by the opinion of the people. This judge can give the right verdict. According to Islamic principles, it's the judge who must be accountable to God on the day of judgment for the verdict he gives. Therefore, it's emphasized in Islamic teachings that the judge should not be influenced by anything, even his own feelings.
The third element is the backing of respected clerics. The public in Iran is not abandoning Islam. Most Iranians are religious people. A religious authority is needed to move the demonstrations up to a more powerful level and provide them with religious justification. For now, such authority is absent, said the senior intelligence source. That's all for today. Thank you from the whole team. Do tune in again same time next week and each week after. And don't forget to leave your comments and topic requests. Bye for now.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, and welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. I really welcome you all. Here again, we have some of the students of Sevier International School. And I want to say hello and Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, brothers. How are you? Hassan, how are you?
Fine, sir.
Fine, inshallah. Okay, great. Fawad Haider?
Fine, sir. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, thank you. Ali Nasir?
Alaykum as-salam. Alhamdulillah. How are you, sir?
Okay, that's great. Alhamdulillah. And Hussein Ruhullah?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
Okay, alhamdulillah. Everyone is here fine. And we hope, inshallah, our brothers and sisters who are listening to us right now on IRIB English Radio, I hope, inshallah, you are well and fine. So, Fawad, Hassan, Hussein, and Ali Nasser. Today, in this session, one of the very important sessions, this session is, okay? Make sure, inshallah, you pay close attention. And I know, you know the topic. What's the topic? We will practice Surah Al-Fatiha. Yeah, Surah Al-Fatiha, Surah Al-Ham, no problem, okay? Surah Al-Fatiha, the name is Surah Al-Fatiha because it starts the Quran. Actually, it was not the first Surah which was revealed, okay? But it's now in the beginning of the Quran, so Al-Fatiha it says. So, brothers and sisters, I really recommend you stay with us till the end of this session. For those who, for example, have a problem in prayers, okay? They cannot pray, for example, in the prayer, they cannot recite Surah Al-Fatiha, Surah At-Tawheed, or any other surah correctly. Please stay with us till the end of this session. Inshallah, we'll work on the Tajweed rules, okay? And you'll learn how to recite Surah Al-Fatiha correctly. So, before we start, everyone, let's listen to Sheikh Parhiz Ghar, who will be reciting this surah for us. And after that, we'll continue our session.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Thank you so much. I will be reciting. Make sure you repeat, okay? And our brothers and sisters will also repeat and practice with us. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
الحمد لله رب العالمين
الحمد لله رب العالمين
الرحمن الرحيم
الرحمن الرحيم
مالك يوم الدين
مالك يوم الدين
إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين
إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين
اهدنا الصراط المستقيم
اهدنا الصراط المستقيم
صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
أحسنتم. Thank you so much. Allah bless you, inshallah. Guys, about the explanation, the tafsir of this surah, I want you to refer to the tafsir book, okay? Because we don't have much time to talk about it because we have to work on the tajweed rules because of the qira'ah of the prayer, okay? So we'll work on the tajweed rules just, okay, today in this session. So for the explanation and also the translation, the tafsir, refer to the tafsir book, inshallah. Okay, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, let's go. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Make sure this is a part of the surah.
Sure. Yes.
This is the first ayah. Second ayah is Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, okay? So whenever you want to recite Surah Al-Fatiha, recite Bismillah before it, okay? Because it is a part of the surah. But in the other surahs, go to Surah Al-Baqarah once. Look. It's written Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alif, Lam, Mim. Together it's one ayah. First ayah. You see? So in Surah Al-Fatiha, one of the opinions is this, that this is in Bismillahirrahmanirrahim totally. It is the first ayah of Surah Al-Fatiha, but for the next surahs, okay, it is part of the first ayah. It's not a separate ayah itself, okay? This is one of the opinions, which is more popular, okay? And it's now, you see the Quran, it's this way. So, Bismillah, first, the pronunciations of the letters, okay, here. Ha, ha, dhal, ayn, hamza, and sad, dad, ta, these letters are very, very important. Okay? Which letters? Dhal, sad, dad, ta, ayn, hamza, ha, ha. They are important. So, let's practice them. How do you say the letter ha? This is different from the letter ha. Yes? Yes. Ha, ha. One is as if you breathe.
Yes.
The other one is a bit more pressure. Ha, ha, ha. Tight your vocal throat. Ha, ha. It's easy.
Yes.
Okay? Ha. So, Bismillah. Bismillahi. Ar-Rahman. Ar-Rahim. Right? Alhamdu. Lillahi. He. Soft one. Rabbil Alameen. Ah. How do you say the letter Ayn? It's different from Hamza.
Yes. Ayn.
Yeah. Hamza has a fatha sound. E. But yes. Ayn is from the top part of your throat. Ayn. Make sure. So, Ayn. How do you say the letter Sad?
Sad.
Sad. You can say the word sad in English. Yes. Say everyone.
Sad.
Sad. Now say the word sad with an A sound.
Sad.
Sad. Sad. Sad. No, no. Sound with an A sound. Sad. Sad.
Sad.
Sad. Sad. Okay? Sad. Sad. All right? Like the whistling sound. Sad. 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 Do not circle your mouth. Nothing. Sad. How do you say the letter dad?
Dad.
Three ways.
Yes, yes.
You can use the edge of your tongue.
Yes.
Okay, the right side. Place it on the back teeth. Dad. 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 Or the left side. Dad. 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 Or top part. The top, the roof of your mouth with, for example, the front edge of your tongue. Okay? Dad. 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 Okay? Both are correct. No problem, okay? The three ways, all are correct. But for the ages, they are more popular, okay? The ages. From your ages. But
yes.
That's okay. So, غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ. How do you say the letter ta? Ta.
Ta.
Put your tongue.
Yes.
On the back of upper teeth.
Yes.
Upper teeth.
Yes.
Here. Ta. Say that ta sound, but now do it with an A sound. Ta. Easy. Ta. 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 Surata. Yes. Ihdina surata al-mustaqim. Ta. Ta.
قلب بالحق تعلق وبغارح راء تألق يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ اقرأ.
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
So next letter, yeah, we did all of them, right? Done. So, let's go and recite it once. Repeat after me. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
Ahsan, ahsan. Ha and ha were pronounced correctly. Alhamdulillahirrabbilalameen.
الحمد لله رب العالمين.
أحسنت ما شاء الله. عين was pronounced correctly. Ha, all of them. الرحمن الرحيم.
الرحمن الرحيم.
مالك يوم الدين.
مالك يوم الدين.
Great. إياك نعبد.
إياك نعبد
وإياك نستعين
وإياك نستعين.
Make sure it's not نستعين, it's not طا ت, and also it's not صاد سين. نستعين, huh؟ إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين
إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين.
Great. يا has a تشديد. إياك. Do not make it a إذ sound. إي. No. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين.
إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين.
Alright, do not make it a طا sound. Make sure, okay? اهدنا الصراط المستقيم.
اهدنا الصراط المستقيم.
أحسن. صراط المستقيم. صراط الذين.
صراط الذين.
Some people say صراط الذين. It's wrong. صراط. Instead of saying طا correctly, they add a قاف sound as well with it. صراط ال. No. You see, do you hear that sound? صراط ال. Say صراط ال.
صراط ال.
أحسن. الذين.
الذين.
أنعمت.
أنعمت
عليهم
عليهم
غير المغضوب
غير المغضوب
عليهم
عليهم
ولا الضالين ولا الضالين. أحسن. There is a mad, okay. ولا الضالين. مد اللازم, you remember?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, after mad, if we have مشدد letter, okay, you pronounce it. The mad must be stretched correctly, okay.
Yes.
So guys, alhamdulillah, you learned how to read Surah Al-Fatiha correctly. Make sure in your prayer you have to do so, because qira'ah is a part of the required part of namaz, okay, prayer, salat. Mm-hmm. So you have to recite it correctly. Understood?
Yes.
So everyone, let's listen to Sheikh Parhizgar once again. He will recite this surah with tajweed. Make sure and listen, okay?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
That's it. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, you've learned. So we didn't have any explanation, okay, about this surah. Make sure you refer to the Tafasir book, because we were doing the recitation, the qira'ah, okay? Thank you so much. Please practice this in your prayer as well, okay? After this, now you have learned. Recite your prayers, do your prayers with qira'ah. Correct qira'ah. Thank you so much. Thanks to our brothers and sisters who have been with us in this session. Stay with us, please, in the coming sessions. Thanks to IRIB English Radio, Sevier International Schools Network for the cooperations. Stay with IRIB English Radio every day with one Quranic session. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadi wa alihi al-tahirin.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا
حياتنا إلا به. هو القرآن والفرقان، إليه تنصت الأكوان، وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
www.parstoday.com/en. What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.